Welcome back all. I have got the most beautiful view of Halong Bay right in front of me here, stretching all the way around. We just got here a couple of days ago. And it's beautiful. Thank you so much, everyone, for carrying on to get in touch, sharing your thoughts and opinions on a weekly basis. It's hugely appreciated. Best place to do it, comments section below. And if you have a longer story, maybe with some pictures, you can email hi@truesthatdobbs.com. I wanted to begin this week because last week I was all doom and gloom, saying that motorcycle sales in the UK have gone down 20% and in Germany and some other places. And I know a lot of people saying that's it, motorcycling dead. The only people that ride bikes are older riders. But this isn't true. For me, honestly, I truly believe that the essence of motorcycling is completely timeless. It goes all the way back to when people were riding around on horseback. You know, you sling your panniers over your horse. Now it's a motorbike. And that desire for travel, for adventure, for having your own means to get you somewhere, and on two wheels where you're exposed to the element. For me, that is completely timeless. I truly believe it. So motorcycling will never die. It's just often there's a little bit of government meddling here and there and forces out of our control that we can't do anything about that make it harder to carry on our passion. But motorcycling will never die. It will always be there because our lust and our desire for adventure and exploring new places, it will never die. And there is no finer way, I truly believe it, no finer way at all to do it than motorbikes. And I say that as often equally as big a car guy as I am a motorbike guy. But that raw, visceral feeling with the elements around you, that taste of adventure, it cannot be topped by any other form of transport, in my opinion. And that is timeless and it's magic. Okay, let's get on it. I just wanted to get that out there because there is nothing better than exploring on two wheels. Right, others' loss can be the most enticing opportunity for all of us. Really carrying on this, kind of indirectly, the fact that, you know, everyone's tightening their purse strings and stuff like that. But my Lord, that gives us opportunities. Trailing Arm 63 put this really good point across. Component prices explains why insurance companies are so quick to write off motorcycles with apparently trivial damage. We've looked over the past couple of weeks where headlamp units, for example, for a BMW GS1300, they can be £1,000, something like that. Suzuki as well. And this is why bikes are being written off, for having often minimal damage, no structural damage at all, just a headlamp broken, a fairing broken. Great, done, bike written off, send it off to the scrapyard or to a breakers for them to do whatever they want to do with it. Carrying on, sorry, I just went off on a tangent. With Trailing Arm 63, on the other hand, this creates opportunities for people good with tools and a contacts list of breakers yards. My engineer, for example, is a cousin of mine and has just copped a cheap and beautiful Moto Guzzi Moto Guzzi V7850 in this fashion. Sadly, I think the motorcycle industry in this country is doomed from an aging group of old knackers like me and YouTubers aiming to make careers out of the last knockings. No, Trailing Arm 63. Everything apart from that last bit, I agree with strongly. But that last bit, the only reason it's older bikers riding is because it's impossible for younger riders up until the age of 25 really to get into biking. And then it's so expensive. Biking would be appealing to everyone if there was a situation put in place where it was made appealing by governments and yada, yada, yada. I honestly, honestly, truly believe that. But I take your point very, very well with this. This is an excellent point here. Motorbikes are written off far too easily by insurance companies because the fix has to be like for like. They're not going to go and say an insurance company, you know what, we found a cheap fairing for this motorbike here, secondhand. Why don't we put that on the bike? It's nearly as good as new. No, everything has to be perfect. I've heard stories about motorbikes being written off because there's the tiniest scratch on the frame, for example. And repainting the whole frame is not financially viable, so that's it, the bike's written off. So I'm going to try and give you a bit of inspiration here to show the kind of bargains that are available. I've gone onto eBay. I've gone on to Moto Mine Projects. This is a company that specialize in taking bikes that have been written off and just reselling them. You can get incredible bargains here. Really incredible bargains. Take a look at this here. This is a Honda CB1000R from 2019. Now, these should be £5,200 plus. Yes, I know this ends in 3 days' time, but honestly, they don't do a last-minute spike. These aren't a million miles off what these bikes are going to go for, the price. 18 bids, 391 people have viewed this in the past 24 hours. Don't tell me there's no interest in motorbikes, because the amount of interest these generate is huge. And look at this. This is what's so interesting. It gives you all of the details here about the bike. It says that the engine doesn't run, but this is a 2019 Honda with 9,000 miles on the clock. There surely cannot be anything that badly wrong with it. It could just be the fact that it needs a new battery or something like that. But if you look at the pictures, there is almost nothing wrong with this at all. Maybe there are a few scratches on one side of the bike, but surely with anyone with a mediocre level of mechanical knowledge could get this back on the road. And what a fun project to do. And then take a look at this. I'm going to be really honest and selfish here. I almost didn't show this because I'm quite tempted by this. This is, God, this is nice. This is a 2019 Honda Cub C125. I really, really like these. 6 days left. It has got a lot of time left, I admit. And these will probably go for about £2,400 if they're not an insurance write-off. But it's got four bids at £510, viewed 137 times in the past day. But look at this. There's nothing really wrong with this at all. Again, it's got the V5 logbook. The engine does run. The keys are present. It's non-structural, so there's nothing really badly wrong with it at all. This is not going to cost much to get back on the road. And the fact it's a little Honda, parts aren't going to be expensive. That is not going to be a big project. How much is that going to go for? I'll do two more because I get carried away with this type of stuff. I find it so exciting. This is exactly in line with Trailing Arm 63 here, Moto Guzzi V7 2016 model. This has 3 days left, 17 bids. It's a popular one, viewed 454 times in the last 24 hours. It's £1,517 at the moment, but look at this. I may be wrong here, but I think the only issue with this may be that it was dropped on its left-hand side, because you can see in the pictures the tiniest bit of scratching on the left-hand engine case. But everything else on this bike looks totally fine, and writing off a bike can be as ridiculously simple as just some of the engine being scraped during a fall. That happens all the time. This could be one of the best bargains out there. And if you want one of these in good condition, you need to pay £4,500, something like this. So this could be a bargain. And it says here, keys present, yes. Does the engine run? Yes. V5 logbook, no, but you can easily apply for that. I know because I've done it myself. 9,000 miles on the clock. I have one more to do. I forgot about this one. Do you want some proper Italian exotica? The kind of bike that is completely out of the price range of a huge amount of people. The kind of bike you think, no, I could never get one of those. But why not take a punt on a bike that may have been out of your price range? And importantly, exactly as Trailing Arm 63 said here, there are often bits on bikes that are so expensive if you buy them brand new, the bike's a write-off. And there is no better genre of bike that backs up this point than bikes with a lot of fairings on. Because if a fairing on a bike cracks, it is so easy to make an insurance write-off. But the point is, it's often only the fairing that's cracked. There's no forks bent, no part of the tank or the frame is damaged. It's just the cosmetics, purely cosmetics, nothing else. And this makes this one very exciting, because this MV Agusta F3-800 has just had, by the look of it, a light drop and slide on its left-hand side, because you can see here, the panel on the left-hand side has all been scraped along. But it looks like Maybe all you have to do is try and repair that side fairing and also replace the clutch lever. And I think the damage here may only be on the fairing. It may need very little to fix this. This would be £7,000 plus if it were going to be in good condition. But here, £3,500, 2 days left. Popular, viewed 390 times in 24 hours. That is fun viewing. You must admit that's fun viewing. Okay, hopefully I've given some food for thought there. Trying to get bikes that usually you wouldn't be able to afford, but just give that a go. I mean, of course, I don't speak from any experience. I've never done this in my life, but I've heard from many of you that it's a good option. Let me know if you go for any of those. Right, I move on to Australia. One bike to do it all. One bike to cover all bases. Is this delusional madness? Is it possible? Can we find a bike that can tour, that can look good outside a coffee shop, that can do a little bit of off-roading, that isn't going to break the bank? That's too much to ask, surely. Let's take a listen here from JD. Freddie, I've got a tricky one for you. I was hoping you or the podcast Brain Trust could help lend me a hand in finding a unicorn. Firstly, I'm in Australia, so bike prices differ from the UK considerably. I'm looking to get back onto a bike after a short time off. I've been busy growing a family and I now busy growing the family and building a home. But I have no reservations at all about hopping back on a bike. There's no need to gingerly work my way back onto a bigger steed. I love modern classics. Here we go. Remember this checklist we need. I love modern classics, specifically Triumphs, as well as adventure and dual sport bikes. Okay, remember that. The conundrum is, I want slash need a bike that can do it all. Is there even such a machine? I would like to commute a couple of days a week. Some highway riding would be involved, around a 100-kilometer round trip. I'd also like to do some weekend adventuring, a few dirt roads sprinkled in there too, a couple of coffee shop runs here and there as well, and I would love it to look good too. Ideally, it would be modern-ish, I think 2010 onwards. 750cc plus, brackets, I need the power and sizes. I'm 6'1" and 120 kilo heap. Although, here's the kicker. I need all of this for under 10,000 Aussie dollaridoos. Is this possible? I do like the Triumph Street Scrambler 900, but here in Australia, they're overvalued. I thought about maybe an older Royal Enfield Interceptor and compromise on the size and displacement, but I am hesitant about this. I think you can see my dilemma here. I may be asking too much. Maybe two bikes is the way to go. Anyway, any help from yourself or the listeners would be hugely beneficial, even if it is just to tell me I'm a dreamer. JD, Australia. JD, it's for me, this is obvious. It's screaming right at you. The second I finished reading this, I've got the exact bike for you. And I think there are going to be other people just muttering under their breath or shouting down the screen the exact bike that suits you. Let's just go through your checklist here. You love modern classics, specifically Triumphs, as well as adventure and dual sport motorbikes. You commute a couple of days a week, so you need it to be comfy for highway riding. You want to do some weekend adventuring, so really you need something that can have some panniers and do a bit of mile munching with a few dirt roads sprinkled in. So you need either an adventure bike or a scrambler. You want to do coffee shop runs, and you'd also like it to look good. Okay, modernish bike, 10,000 Aussie dollaridoos. That is 5,000 Great British pounds sterling. Right, I'm proud of this. I mean, it has to be this bike for me, JD. Honestly, there is only one bike, only one that ticks all of your boxes. Are you ready? Everyone, let me know if you agree with me and if you think there's a bike that better suits JD's requirements. Moto Guzzi V85 TT. I accidentally gave it away without realising early in the episode. Moto Guzzi V85 TT. In a lot of people's opinions and mine, the best looking adventure bike, full stop. It's a genuine retro adventure bike, which is probably the first time this has ever been done. So you get all of the cool classic stripped back mechanical look of the likes of the Triumphs and the other Moto Guzzis, Royal Enfields, not covered in plastics and things like that. You get the 850cc V-twin Moto Guzzi engine. So much character from this engine. It's made in Italy, it's got 80 horsepower, it'll be great for your size at 6'1" and 120 kilos. Put panniers on it, park it outside a coffee shop, commute to work on it. And this is really important. A lot of people get scared off by Moto Guzzis, but actually the V85 TT has a really, really good reputation for reliability. And I've done a few podcast episodes with Aussies getting in touch and sharing their pictures from using their V85 TTs and crossing the entirety of Australia on them, on-road, off-road, having all of the camping gear on them. The Australians specifically really like these V85 TTs. They are really good, rugged motorcycles. And the price, JD, I have to assume it's kind of going to be in line with Australian prices, and I hope that is true. Oh, look at this. Every time I look at these bikes, I just think they're perfection. They are, in my eyes, the best looking adventure bike that has ever been made, and no other bike blends the parking up beautiful aesthetics, just wanting to look at it, of the retro modern classic bikes. That was the most appalling description, I'm so sorry. No other bike blends the desirability of the modern classics, there we go, with the functionality, go anywhere, rugged nature of adventure bikes, and puts it into one, and it makes so much sense. And look at this one in red. Is that not a phenomenally good looking motorbike? I could look at this all day. This one even comes with a big touring screen. It's perfect. And that V-twin engine, this engine is more characterful than the Triumph range of engines. And I say that with a little bit of pain because I'm a huge Triumph fan, but nothing beats these engines for character. They are really lovely things. I think, honestly, JD, I could go on and on about how perfect I think this bike is for you, but that, given everything you said, is the bike I'd go for, and it means that you don't need to go out and buy two bikes. And I've heard of these going up to high mileage, people really using and abusing these on-road, off-road, etc., etc. They can take punishment. Bike of the week. A Paris-Dakar legend. Equally as exciting here for me, this, because I've got a ludicrous soft spot for this era of Japanese motorcycles, and more specifically this era of Japanese Dakar inspired motorcycles. There is very little cooler genre of motorbike wise for me. 1980s into the 1990s, Japanese Paris Dakar inspired bikes. This comes in from Ian. Freddie, I've owned my 1991 Yamaha XTZ 750, which I swore I would never sell, but I've literally just taken a deposit this morning for it. Due to the recent purchase, if you're going to sell a bike, then getting the younger brother is reason enough. So that is a compliment to this XTZ 750, which I swore I'd never sell, but I've just taken a deposit this morning due to the recent purchase of a 2022 Yamaha T7 Rally. That's an excellent looking bike as well. It's a long-awaited upgrade. Richard, my friend, went on to get himself a Triumph Tiger 800 from the mid-20-teens, and we both took part in the Paddy Dakar Rally. This is like the Irish version of the Paris Dakar Rally from, or in Limerick, for 6 consecutive years. Okay, so this old Yamaha has been trusted to do the Paddy Dakar Rally for 6 consecutive years. That says something. The Paddy Dakar Rally, a fantastic event that's been running since 2012, where you're given a map and coordinates on the Friday night, and you ride around the Silvermine Mountains and surrounding area all day Saturday, searching for waypoints before heading back to the village pub for some pints, barbecue and live music, all whilst camping in a local field. Oh my God, that sounds amazing. And what a bike to do it on. And also, this is proof enough that this motorbike, this Yamaha, at what, 30, 35 years old, can still be trusted to do this kind of thing. So, Ian, let's take a look at this. I was intrigued when I saw this picture of your XTZ 750, and I thought, that is the perfect bike of the week. XTZ 750, aka the Yamaha Super Tenere, launched in 1989 and was produced all the way to 1996. 750cc, 69 horsepower, 236 kilos. This bike came out during the glorious, glorious years of the Paris-Dakar Rally. I think the Dakar Rally started in 1979. And these first 10 years, from 1979 to 1989, it was an all-out war between Honda, BMW and Yamaha. These were the three and only kings of the first 10 years of the Paris-Dakar. They were slugging it out. And because of their success, all three of them, all three brands and the models that came out from those brands, they all became legends. And that shows with the lineage, even today. Like, you think of incredibly rugged off-roaders, you think, right, well, Honda, Yamaha and BMW, even without thinking about it, it goes to the front of your mind. And so much of that is because of those formative years, those first 10 years of the Paris-Dakar. Legends were made in those first 10 years. And the Yamaha XTZ 750 is a product of that. So, it's got, well, in essence, you had the Yamaha XT500s and the XT600s from the first 10 years of the Dakar. They were very lightweight, single-cylinder engine bikes. But Yamaha then saw the need to up the CC capacity, up the horsepower, but also, a byproduct of this, hugely up the weight as well. So to give you an example, you had the old Yamaha XT600 that had 156 kilo dry weight and 45 horsepower. That was the Paris-Dakar bike of Yamaha. But then they replaced that with the XTZ750 that added a good 50 kilos, but it also added about 20 horsepower. So it's a definite give and take here. Whereas those earlier Yamahas were much more lightweight, you could throw them around. This wasn't the case. You needed to be a much more competent rider to be able to make the most out of this XTZ 750. However, despite all of the extra weight, what Yamaha did, they took the XTZ 750 and they modified it and turned it into the YZE 750T Super Tenere, which won the Paris-Dakar, I had to double check this, seven times. This is insane. 91, 92, 93, 95, 96, 97, 98. So the bike that this XTZ 750 is based on won the Paris-Dakar seven times. That is all conquering. This XTZ 750 has just about the best DNA you can possibly imagine in any motorbike. If you want to do anything remotely like this with off-roading, mile munching, traveling the world, surely nothing has better lineage than this. I want to see if it's possible that these are anywhere near affordable. So let's take a look at Facebook Marketplace. I hope I've saved two here. I have. The first one I'm going to show you is one of the cheapest ones I can find. This is a 1998, which in itself is slightly strange because it says these were produced till 96, but maybe this was hanging around showrooms a little bit longer. So this is County Durham in England. Bought the bike in 2023 and it hadn't been loved in years. Lots of work done to it. And look at what you can still do to it. Look at this wheelie picture on this 236 kilo 750cc adventure bike. It looks excellent with those twin headlamps. And that is £2,800. That is the cheapest one I found. But even as the cheapest one I found, it's an excellent looking thing. Bear in mind with these are not only heavy, but they've got a really high seat height apparently. So these are going to be fairly unwieldy beasts. If you're feeling like you want the highest end possible, one of these XTZs, one that's got all of that Paris-Dakar livery on the side of it. And it's just a complete sorted example. Well, I found something for you. 1994 model. This is special. Facebook Marketplace listed just 2 days ago. Listen to this. For sale is my absolutely stunning Yamaha XTZ 750 Tenere Son Auto replica. The bike has had a complete nut and bolt restoration, frame shot blasted, powder coated, all wiring updated, new exhaust, new SM Pro Platinum wheels costing over £1,000, new tyres, cables all round, LED lights, seats been recovered, new heavy duty clutch, rides faultlessly, turns heads every time you ride it, you will not be disappointed. I know those blue and yellow colours. I've seen so many of these racing on YouTube, old YouTube videos across the desert. That looks sensational with all of the pictures of the restoration. It's a lot of money, but my God, you get a special bike for that. Imagine owning that. Just under £5,000. And I'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Really hope you enjoyed it. And also, let me just add this before I forget. Ian's friend Richard on the Triumph Tiger 800, currently in hospital, about to undergo some treatment. So, Richard, I wish you all of the very best for an extremely speedy recovery and to stronger health than ever. Thank you all for watching. I'll see you in the next one.